Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Good to see everybody. When I first started out in meditation practice, it was many, many moons ago. And my first practice was with a mantra. And it was sort of in the Indian context. And they used to call it transcendental meditation. And there was a guru and all that. And that's how I started out. And I think I did that for a couple of years. But in some way, it just didn't fit my nature. And somewhere along the way, I became attracted to Zen. And the key thing that attracted me to it was its simplicity. And one of the forms, and these are all the Japanese aesthetic forms, which I think are very simple and very beautiful. And one of the things that I remember being attracted to is the tea ceremony, which was so elegant and at the same time very simple. Another thing, which I think Carol's going to send it out, but were the Japanese rock gardens. And, the placement of the stones and the sand or gravel which was raked, and one perspective would be it was the ripples of water that flow around the stones, and the stones could be viewed as mountains. And then the shapes many times in the Japanese monasteries were rectangular, but not always. But all of that, as many pieces that went into this, it was still simply and beautifully elegant. And, of course, simplicity being the one thing that really attracted me about it. And each one of these forms is an expression of meditation. If you've ever been to a rock garden, it almost instantly can transform your state of mind from maybe an active state of mind to one that's very calm and still. And then another expression of simplicity, and it has to do with the simplicity of the moment, are haiku. And they're a very simple but sometimes beautiful expression of a given moment. And I'll read just a couple. I know you're all familiar with them. A mountain village under piled up snow, the sound of water. Pink sunset, cool breeze, delightful. Seeing my breath in the cold mountain air early this morning. So those are very simple expressions of the world around us. And so too, I think Zazen is an expression of simplicity. The practice itself is very simple. We just sit and nothing is extra. All we do is sit. No story, no philosophy, nothing to accomplish. As we say, we just sit in a very elegant yet simple posture. Now, many times Zen teachers are asked the question, what is Zen? And there are different ways to answer that question than teachers do, but I think they basically fall into two categories. The first one of the two ways is more of a historical and informational answer. And usually that kind of answer would take more of a talk or something like that. And it would be to speak about the history of Zen, may include stories of interactions between Zen masters, which ultimately may become koans. There may be words where the teacher speaks about mindfulness and being present to this moment. It may also include a description of Zen meditation. Then there's another way, which is less scholarly, less intellectual, and more just the direct expression of Zen. And you know, you're all familiar with these. They're usually very simple and direct, and it's like pointing a finger at the moon, right? The ring of the teacher's bell. clap of hands. Or it could be a question. Who is it that you see when you look into the mirror in the morning? Or sometimes it's not verbal, it's just silence. So it's important to understand that an answer with words and an answer sometimes without words are not in opposition to each other. They just take a different form, and they provide different types of response to a question about what is Zen about. Now, the first way, in terms of our upbringing, we're most used to is a dialogue, is an explanation in the traditional way. And the second way, which is different, which is pointing at a direct experience, I think we're less familiar with. But many times, that response is just very simple. Now, it's been said that knowledge is learning something every day, and simplicity is letting go of something every day. But how does simplicity apply to our daily lives? It simply means living directly, compassionately, and straightforward. It means living fully in the present moment with full attention. Living simply means being at one with life. That simple connection without a description or a dialogue or a long talk, that simple connection with life occurs moment to moment. Could be a raindrop on the window. It could be a friend's hand on your shoulder. It could be something that we get involved in the form of social action. But it's simple. It's a simple response. It's a simple receiving of life. Now, on the other hand, you might notice that if you lose touch with this awareness, life can become less direct, less compassionate, and less straightforward, and more complicated. So when we fall into living life only based on ideas, concepts, and ideologies, we lose the basic simpleness of being alive. We miss seeing the moon in a dewdrop, hearing a crow calling from across the lake, seeing our breath on a cold morning. We also get stuck in me and you. Me and you is actually very complicated. If you live in a relationship where there's me and there's you and this is mine and that is yours, that kind of relationship can become very complicated and much more difficult to be intimate with each other. Intimacy is actually very simple. It's a very simple and direct experience that takes place without these barriers that I'm talking about. I forget who this is. He was some kind of, I don't remember, but his name is Dwayne Elgin. And he wrote a classic book on simplicity, which was called Voluntary Simplicity. And in the book he states, living simply means we clear out the clutter, not just from our material spaces, but from our emotional spaces as well. Living simply means we clear out the clutter, not just from our material spaces, but from our emotional spaces as well. So I was reading a book by Joko Beck, who I know Bill likes a lot, and I don't remember the title of it, but it's a more recent book in her later years. And one thing that I never realized about her was that her way of teaching is very much constructed around her history with psychotherapy and the group movements back in the 60s and body work, which was sort of a surprise to me. So I'm mentioning this because in terms of clearing out the clutter, it doesn't just mean the physical space, but it could mean our human space, who we are. It means freeing ourselves from complications and pain, living lives that are a result of habitual responses, trauma reactions, and misguided beliefs and ideas all of which frequently exist outside of our awareness. Now that's our human house filled with the baggage of having been alive. And that clutter can affect and add clutter to our spiritual practice. Now I've mentioned this before, but just briefly, for those of you who hadn't heard this, when I was young, I was abandoned as a child, and then I had a rough life in my family growing up when I was picked up by my father. And so the one characteristic about this life was, and this like I said, it sort of took place without my awareness, was to put up a wall. The only way to be safe in that experience was to be walled off. Now that connects to my spiritual practice. When I got started sitting more deeply, and this concrete idea that who I thought I was, and this concrete wall that I had built to protect who I thought I was, started to get more porous, started to get softer, and I started to become more intimate with the world. And that scared the hell out of me. And so this complicated being that I was slowly starting to get more simple, but it was frightening. And so this is one half of cleaning out the clutter, becoming more simple. I had to go and do my work in order for my Zen practice to keep moving in a particular direction. So at the same time, practice of Zen helps us get cleared out spiritually, helps us lose our grip on the idea of a solid self, a separate entity, unconnected from the world around us. Right? So we get cleared out of all these ideas, which have existed for years and years and years. If you think about the self, every day we reconfirm that we're a separate self when we look in the mirror in the morning. Every day somebody will say, "Carl, how are you?" Reinforces the idea that I am a separate individual entity. That's not bad. That's how we live our daily life. But it also creates this complicated situation because there's two things that are not connected. There's the world, and then there can be me. So again, spiritual practice makes all of that much more simple. It makes those boundaries much softer. And it allows us to get outside of ourselves, that face in the mirror, and start to realize our connection to everything. But these two things are ways of getting uncluttered or becoming more simple. And when this happens, we evolve, and we start to worry less. We feel lighter, clearer, more connected, and we become simply ourselves in the largest meaning of what that. But in the end of practice, in the end of psychotherapy, and sometimes they work together, we become more simple and more open to our lives. Now, there are those of you who will either hear these words and think, well, if only it were that simple. If you have these kind of thoughts, I will let Zen Master Dogen respond. He says, "Do not doubt a possibility because of the simplicity of its method. If you cannot find the truth where you are, where else do you expect to find it?" And I'm going to end with a quote by one of Suzuki Roshi's students. He once said of Suzuki Roshi, "There was such a simplicity and directness about him that you felt immediately at ease." So this is the simplicity that I have been pointing at. And this lies within each of us. This is nothing special. We just have to reveal it, come to the realization of it. And we will make our lives more simple and much more, we will be much more at peace with ourselves and I think be much more joyful about being alive. Thank you.